Man, I gotta tell you, Fridays are the best. Aren't they, Vinny? What's not to like about a Friday?
It's not Saturday.
There's still
work.
Friday brings,
still work to be done. No.
But Friday brings the anticipation of Saturday.
Friday night is the best because you know you have the whole weekend.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. And this weekend's even bigger than most for me. There's a lot going on in my world this weekend, Vinny. You want to hear about it?
Yes, I would love to hear about it.
My 16-year-old Cameron, whom you saw on a video playing bass with me in a recording studio in Chandler. Subsequently, he has hooked up with some kids at school who are musicians.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
This is Van Halen Part 2, baby. His first live performance, coffee house performance, is going down tonight.
They already got a gig?
Yeah, it's kind of like an open.
They've had more gigs in the last 2 months.
The whiskey's quicker.
Yeah.
It's kind of an open mic night thing that these kids do, right? Okay, so it's just one song, but it is his musical debut.
What song is it?
It's a Green Day song. I forget which one it is. I heard him rehearsing it the other night. I could tell you if I look into it, but it's a Green Day song. It got thrown at him at the last minute. He took it, he learned it, and he's rolling. He was, like, jamming with a kid. He met another kid at school who's, like, a drummer, and they're, like, playing Rush in the school auditorium. So the whole musical world is opening up to Cameron. So that's tonight.
What's his band called?
There's no band name to it yet. It's just a bunch of guys performing a song at an open mic.
How about the Oneaters?
You need to... Vince literally has a... Vince has a phone book this big full of potential band names.
No, we've never... Nestle's Quicker? That's pretty good. For a kid?
Oh, for a kid.
That's really good. Wow.
Yeah, let's pretend I came up with that.
No, it's not that great.
Okay,
no,
Eric, that was all
product,
Eric.
Product placement, no. You know.
My daughter has prom on Saturday.
Nobody got the Oneaters reference. I'm really
glad.
I didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
What is it?
That Thing You Do, Tom Hanks.
Oh, okay.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
They were named The Wonders,
I do not mean to slow you guys down when you do your movie references, but sometimes I am just not in that realm. So my daughter's got prom on Saturday. My band's got a gig on Sunday, and Game of Thrones comes back Sunday night.
Wow, none of this affects me at
all. And the Masters. Another thing.
And the Masters. Dude, there are Game of Thrones Oreos out there.
I saw.
Did you see
that?
That's
the only way Game of Thrones potentially affects me.
You printed out a guide to catching up to Game of Thrones in case you paid no attention and you want to watch season 8.
I didn't even read the article.
That's good. So I know Eric obviously likes Game of Thrones. Jared has no desire for it.
No, I'm not. But is your daughter going with a date to prom?
Oh, she is.
And have you met this fella?
Not yet.
Oh, this is a new thing?
Like I said, my daughter is 17. She barely wants to recognize that I exist. So okay. I will meet her date at the very last moment.
You should really embarrass her.
And this is the problem.
Do you own any tidy whiteies?
Listen,
come to the door with your tidy whiteies.
Here's the problem. I'm going to be very, 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 very honest and transparent here. You know me. I'm a loudmouth. I talk a lot. I interrupt a lot. I have a very forceful kind of personality. And when my kids were young, I was probably bigger than life to them and probably overwhelmed them. And now they just want me to shut up. Okay? So my son doesn't want me there cheering for him. He wants his dad to be quiet. My daughter doesn't want her dad to be talking and meet. Because a lot of my kids' friends are aware of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're a pretty big deal to some people, even in my kids' peer group. Okay?
I find that hard to believe.
No, it's the truth. My daughter has teenage friends who are well aware of what we do and are big fans. You think my daughter likes hearing that? No. And I struggle with this because it's like, hold on a second. You've got friends who know this radio station, who know what Vinny and I and Jarrett do is really cool in their eyes. Yet you don't want to embrace your father because, look, aren't I cool to you? It makes it worse. If you're a teenage girl or a teenage kid, you don't want a parent who is perceived to be cool by their friends. They don't want to hear from their friends, hey, your dad's pretty cool. Yeah. Hey, your mom's pretty cool. They don't want to hear that.
It's true. But it's not, and I'm not trying to diminish the way you feel about this. It's not specific to you. It happens to a lot of parents.
And me in my own delusional state of being, I had to kind of realize that what I'm going through is universal. It's not just me. It's anybody with a 17-year-old daughter.
Does she feel
you're lucky? You're lucky you had boys, dude. That's all I got to say.
Does the sometimes the daughter is a daddy's girl, and it's the mother and the daughter that have
they
the,
do. Well, look,
but the heads.
No, it's in my relationship with my daughter is the exact same thing that most people do. Daddy's girl up until a certain age, and then it's they need to be away.
You're going to get like a 5 and 6 year break.
And right. Then, and then they circle back and hopefully dad is still alive at that point, which in my case is highly debatable.
Can I run something by you guys quickly?
Yeah.
This is from a hopeful AZ sports fan on Twitter. Tweeted me and said, "You win with the Wonders reference. You deserve to go home early." Is that cool? You guys got it?
We got it.
I thought I'd give it a shot.
Yeah. No, we don't got it. So I got a big weekend on tap. How about you? Nothing? Jarrett, nothing?
I'm going to eat some Game of Thrones Oreos and not watch the Masters.
Yeah, it's too bad because somebody big is going to die in the first episode. It's been too long since the show's been on. Somebody big is going to die.
They're going to announce their presence with authority.
They always do. Jarrett, start the show.
The Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
The Splash is brought to you by Rooter Ranger Plumbing. Plumbers you can trust for any of your plumbing services. Call 888-7-RANGER to get you out of plumbing danger.
Man, I tell you what, this is a good day to be at work. It's nice and overcast outside. The Masters are on. Tiger Woods is getting ready to tee off. And there's Chris Russo talking like this!
I know, that was what I noticed on the TVs. We have MLB Network on. And
Christopher Mad Dog Russo is on!
That was good.
And he got a fresh dye job. Looking pretty convincing there, Mad Dog. Sorry.
All right, no, that's great. All right, item number one. Let's see. The Arizona Cardinals. Who in the pool of draft quarterbacks had the Cardinals staging a visit with Daniel Jones?
Look, we're at this point because we are now officially under 2 weeks. When we take the airwaves on Friday from Nashville, Tennessee, 2 weeks from today, we will know who the Cardinals have picked, unless they just completely trade out of the first round.
Yeah.
So we're within that threshold. I have no idea anymore. Like, it's just crossed over to the more ridiculous. My first reaction when I hear this news is, okay, either they have way too many allotted visits with prospects. I mean, they get 30, and they have how many draft picks? 10?
Yeah.
Or they really hate Josh Rosen. That was my first reaction.
Uh-huh. Josh Rosen's like, what, I'm not smart enough for you? You got to bring in a quarterback from Duke?
I could have got into Duke if I wanted to play.
I could have done that. The other big story with the Cardinals, and we're going to turn our focus onto this pretty quickly, it's John Gruden, Mike Mayock, their comments about the upcoming draft and how people are perceiving it. Because they're looking at it as the Oakland Raiders throwing up signs that we don't want Kyler Murray. We're not going anywhere. Is it real or is it just a game?
We had the discussion with Ray Ratto yesterday that I think we can revisit, too, when it comes to the Raiders standpoint. There were some interesting things said in that, but I think a point left out of that conversation that occurred to me a little bit later on.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
I look forward to that. All right. Leverage is a beautiful thing. I hope to have it someday.
It really is.
I hope to have it someday. Leverage can be a wonderful thing. Bobby Hurley, 5-year deal to stay at ASU.
Yeah, he put out the statement last night on Twitter about 6:30 last night, said working on a contract extension, not going anywhere. This is the right move for ASU. This is the right move for Bobby Hurley right now. But let's also remember that contracts in college coaching, they're not worth the paper they're printed on.
I know.
Eventually, again, unless Bobby Hurley proves to be one of the, and I don't think this is a knock if he's not, he's one of these coaches that just wants to throw down his anchor and build something in Tempe, Arizona, more power to him. But I fully expect sometime in the next 2 years for somebody to come calling with a deal that is too good, a position that's too good to pass up, or a contract that's too rich for ASU to match.
I can't say I argue with
that's,
you.
That's the realest
view of it. I can't say I argue with you. But
glad he's not going, and I'm really glad he's not jumping ship for St. John's, because that would have been a step backwards in every way except for potentially financially, in my opinion.
No, I agree. I agree with all of that. For now, though, Bobby Hurley staying at ASU, that's a good deal. Last night, the Diamondbacks lost to the, can't believe I'm about to say this, the first place San Diego Padres.
San Diego Padres.
First place San Diego Padres. The big story is the Diamondbacks fought back, tied the game at 6, and Archie Bradley gave up another home run in another outing, and that one turned out to be the game loser.
Yeah, which we've seen this pattern now with Diamondbacks pitching, whether it's starters or bullpen. They're just cruising along. Zach Godley was really good last night. Hit the rough inning. Curiously, not a whole lot of action in the bullpen till it was pretty much too late.
Yeah.
To the D-backs' credit, they come back. They tie the game on Escobar's home run. And Archie Bradley was rolling right along as well. And went to the well once too often. Margot hits it out and they lose the game. That's the back-to-back appearances now for Archie Bradley. Yeah. He's given up a home run.
Wow. She'll get hit by a meteor or something, Jarrett.
He just loves that part of the song.
It was that black hole.
Yeah, that's right. All right, the NBA playoffs get underway tonight. There's a key injury in
tomorrow.
I thought there were games. No,
no.
Okay, tomorrow. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
They're gonna play basketball and stuff. So, who do you like? You like the Golden State Warriors? You like the Houston Rockets? You like the Raptors? The Bucks?
To me, I mean, we've covered who's going to win it. There's very little mystery, at least as far as I see it, with these 16 teams going into the playoffs. I think the Golden State Warriors win it again. But who are they going to face? The Eastern Conference playoffs, for the first time in a long time, offer the more intriguing bracket, in my opinion. Because you've got four teams. I don't even know if I want to throw Boston in there. They have the potential if everything falls into place, but they're without a key player, Marcus Smart, for a while. Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia all could come out of the East. I think that's pretty intriguing. Wow. And I don't know which one to handicap as the favorite right now in my eyes. I'm leaning towards Toronto, but that's been a team that's been a high seed for so many years, and seemingly they just... They run into a little adversity in the playoffs and they just crumble. Different with Kawhi Leonard? Yeah. That's the question.
I don't know if the final I want to see is the same as the final that would be the best competitive final. I love the idea about the Bucks playing the Warriors. The whole Giannis small town kind. You'd have to spend time in Milwaukee to kind of get the Laverne and Shirley vibe of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I would love to see that, but I'm not certain that the 76ers Warriors wouldn't be a bet. But what's happened to Joel Embiid recently? Basketball's so weird. Some of these teams start rolling hot for a couple weeks, and boom, they hit a wall, and, well, it's about time we're all going to find out.
It's like I always say, Bick, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated.
Wow. That's well done.
You got that one?
Quality lyrics. Yes, that's from the Laverne and Shirley theme song. Yes, I got that
one. Have you not seen That Thing You Do?
I haven't.
Highly recommend
it. Okay. All right. Fish Called Wanda.
And by the way,
highly recommend.
I was walking out, complete tangent here, I get it, but this is what we do on this show.
Yeah.
I'm walking out to my car yesterday after I'm leaving the office, and a guy's driving in the parking lot, this guy Dylan, and he's, Vinny Murata? I was like, hey. He's like, ah, big listener. And he asked me, what happened to Vinny Joe Trivia? Second person that's asked me in the last couple of weeks, what happened to Vinny Joe Trivia? It's going to come back in some form. I will lay down the gauntlet right now. There's not a person on the planet Earth that could beat me in That Thing You Do trivia. Wow. I know it's really, really narrow,
right?
But I've seen that movie so many times.
There might be one person out there who's seen it just as often as you.
Oh, yeah?
Bring it on. How would a Fresco?
Also, since we're doing entertainment news, breaking Star Wars news, the title of the newest movie, Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Ooh, interesting.
And return also.
Well,
Lando Calrissian.
I'm telling you right now, Disneyland and Disney World, they're about to change forever. Because these Star Wars universe lands that they're about to open up, it's going to make these places, it's already bad enough in terms of how many people are there. This is going to make it over the top.
Yeah.
They're going to have bars you can walk into, and you're going to sit next to, like, characters at that famous cantina. Full immersion is what they're calling it.
Yes.
All right. Those are your... Oh, finally, the Masters is going on today, like I told you. What's interesting about it is Phil Mickelson is in contention. This is a big deal. This is a really big deal. He's tied for second at the moment, midway through his second round, maybe early in his second round. But Phil Mickelson at age, what is he now, 47?
No, he's older than that. He's older than me. I think he's 49.
Okay. For him to be in contention here, that's one of those, hello, friends. That's one of those names that takes this tournament to a different level.
Especially 40, almost 49.
Almost 49? Okay.
Okay.
I just knew he was older than me.
It's pretty good. So there you go. The Masters will keep you updated.
Yeah. Bryson DeChambeau, 1 under today, 7 under for the tournament. He's your leader. Molinari and Day, 2 strokes back. Mickelson in a group, 3 strokes back at 4.
Tiger Woods is not teed off yet. He's going to need a good round today to kind of stay in that cluster at the top.
By the way, that is the splash. Mm-hmm. New record, longest splash ever.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll take the blame for that.
What's wrong with that? It's Friday. We're having fun, man.
I had to throw in my self-indulgent, trivial tangent.
Oh, I spent 8 minutes on a tangent in my weekend and my kids and the horrors and joys.
Yeah, you know what? It was your fault.
It's all my fault. It's always my fault. You kidding me? I was talking about the Game of Thrones, everything.
Now, at quarterback for your Arizona Cardinals, Daniel Jones.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that nuts?
Now, that's going way, way down the road.
Daniel Jones?
There are some logical reasons to do this. Obviously, due diligence, maybe getting an idea of a team that might be in on Daniel Jones could draft him. You could face him down the road. But I just got to share my first reaction again. And my first reaction was, all right, they're talking to a quarterback not named Kyler Murray, not named Dwayne Haskins, which I think also would be a stretch considering their draft position.
Mm-hmm.
I don't diagnose quarterback as an area of need going into this draft for the Cardinals, yet they're using one of their 30 prospect visits on Daniel Jones of Duke, who I don't think there's any way possible he ends up in the Cardinals unless they want to invest a second-round pick, which would make no sense either.
Maybe they do that just to make Josh Rosen feel better. Like, hey, Josh, we're just bringing in a bunch of guys.
How does that make you feel better? If you're bringing in a quarterback that's not nearly as good as you 1 year after they drafted you.
I know. I don't get it. I don't get it. That's one of those things where you have, like, 30 visits. It's like having, like, a handful of tokens left at, like, say, Cracker Jacks or something, and you have nothing left to do, and you're like, all right, I'll go play this video game. Because you got 30 of them, you just might as well use them. I don't know. Here's the thing, though, I can't help shaking this feeling. It's and we're going to get in detail with this Mike Mayock, John Gruden stuff coming up. But the long and the short of it is, John Gruden was quoted as saying to Mike Mayock, don't screw this up, or words to that effect. And it sounds like John Gruden is ceding control of the draft to Mike Mayock, whom is the guy on record as saying, I love Derek Carr. So it's created this smokescreen that...
But he's also on record saying, Gruden's in charge.
I know.
I'm fine with this.
We all know Gruden's in
charge. They're going into their first draft together.
Yeah.
And Gruden's telling Mayock, don't screw it up. And Mayock's like, I'm not in charge of this. This is his team.
Right.
And so, I'm good with that.
Right. And I'm good with that. And I think what this is, it's throwing off the scent that the Raiders are not interested in trading all their first-round picks for Kyler Murray. What if we got to the point where no one wanted Kyler Murray? What if we got to the point where this was just nothing but one big show? First pick comes around, Cardinals want to trade it because they don't want Kyler Murray, but nobody wants him either, not at number one. So they draft Nick Bosa. I wouldn't do that, by the way. Not after seeing some of his tweets.
We'll examine the Nick Bosa question coming up later on.
I would not do that. What if we got to that point where Kyler Murray, first pick, second pick, third pick, the analytics expert we had on, Cynthia Freeland, who had Kyler Murray going 13th to the Dolphins. What if that actually happened? What if we have spent 98 broadcast hours?
You're way off. 98 broadcast days.
Talking about a guy who goes 13th in the draft. Wouldn't that be outstanding?
All right, let's rewind it, though. If the Arizona Cardinals didn't have Cliff Kingsbury at quarterback, Kyler Murray at 13 might be a more logical landing spot for him. Mm-hmm. Of course, taking out of consideration what the Raiders may or may not do and whatever their love affair is with Kyler Murray. But nobody believes he's the best player in the draft. And what do teams always say? There's two philosophies you can take. You're drafting for need. Mm. You're drafting best player available. If the Cardinals take Kyler Murray, number one overall, they're doing neither of those things.
No, you're right.
They're stretching.
You're right.
They're stretching one of those criteria to say, and kind of combining them. It's not an area of need. He's the best player available for the need we have at quarterback under a new head coach with a new system.
Yeah. You make a good point. It stretches all draft logic and draft theory and everything you think you knew. So, fortunately, it's all coming to an end. We are going to be in Nashville. We are going to be bringing how many listeners going with us? Not actually with us. They might be on the same plane as us. One guy?
Just one or girl.
No, they're not sending somebody alone.
Yeah, you wouldn't send anyone alone.
So
that's
two?
What I'm asking.
That's
yeah, so we're sending two people.
That would be cruel, wouldn't
it? That would be cruel,
wouldn't
it?
Have a great weekend in Nashville by yourself. That's like something that I would do.
Right.
We got one plane ticket for you. You want to bring somebody, you can call the airlines, see if they got any space. That's funny. Can you imagine that? Have a good time by yourself, feeling like a loser.
All right. I follow up on my trivial tangent. Scott has tweeted me. Challenge accepted.
Uh-oh.
I know you're a legend, but I've seen that movie 1,000 times. I'd love to give it a try. Here's where it gets interesting. Movie version or extended version? Ooh, this guy means business.
And yes, of course you're right. One winner will receive airfare and hotel for two to Nashville.
Yes.
I thought he just meant how many winners from the...
What I'm curious about is with the Cardinals having the first pick, and them really controlling things from, a talking point, standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
How many? And I think there's Cardinal fans that take the trip every year to go to the draft. Are there going to be more in Nashville than we normally see?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. You know what I mean?
Because now
we know there were about 10 ASU fans in Oklahoma City for the NCAA tournament game. I'm just saying that to be stupid, but to me, it's Nashville. It's the number one pick. You got to believe that some Cardinal fans have booked this trip. We saw some in Indianapolis for the combine, about 10 to 12. I don't know if they all came together.
Yeah, but I think that the draft itself has a different weekend feel to it. The combine, a lot of it was in the middle of the
week.
What do you watch? Yeah. You don't have access. Yeah, you want to – and look, we were at the convention center doing the show, and there was a lot of fans there seeking autographs of just people wandering the hallways. I get all that. The draft to me is different, and now with the NFL moving the location of the draft to destinations, I think you're going to see a ton it's a fan convention in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't doubt a lot of Cardinals fans making that trip.
Bring the NFL draft out here. Great time of year for it.
Maybe. Perfect time of year.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Late April?
I'm into it.
Have you subscribed to the Bickley and Murata podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Bickley and Murata podcast. It's brought to you this week by National Bank of Arizona. Coming up next, Bobby Hurley got flirted with by St. John's, but he's staying put in Tempe. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Friday, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I am thankful to President Crow and Ray Anderson for entrusting me to lead the basketball program at Arizona State. My family and I are proud to be Sun Devils and want to remain at Arizona State for a long time. We are in discussions to extend our agreement, and I look forward to continuing to build our program for long-term success. I will have no further public comment on my contract status until our agreement is finalized. Thank you, Sun Devil Nation. That was a tweet that went out from Bobby Hurley yesterday, 6:17 p.m., and then right after that, you heard a collective sigh of relieved breath from ASU fans around the Valley. He's not going anywhere, not going to St. John's anyway. Mm-hmm. Jeff Goodman, 16 hours ago, did tweet that they've agreed on a new five-year deal, ASU and Bobby Hurley. Of course, this on the heels of St. John's pursuit of Bobby Hurley for their open coaching position after Chris Mullin stepped down.
Once again, leverage is a beautiful thing. I think Bobby Hurley made the right decision. I agreed with you after careful reflection, Vinny, that St. John's is not a better job than ASU. St. John's is a fading, fading small school, once a basketball mecca for a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And that is some heavy lifting there, no matter how hard Chris Mullin didn't work and all that. So I think the bigger props go to ASU because you know how Michael Crow is about escalating salaries of Division I basketball and football coaches. Not a big fan of the trend.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, not an unlimited amount of money at ASU, but I think they've realized we don't want to lose this guy right now. And I said a couple days ago, maybe at the beginning of the week, this is it's a big moment for ASU just to perceptually show, no, we're ASU, we are rising. You're not taking our basketball coach. He's not going anywhere. That's the proper counterattack to all of this. Whether or not Bobby Hurley would have really gone or not, this is the way it works in college basketball. You get an offer from some place that is enough to make you fear a guy leaving, and then you got to go to your board of regents or your president or whatever and get authorization to rip up one useless contract and give him another useless contract. As you described them. That's what you do.
Yeah, they're in force, certainly, but they're not really hard to wiggle out of if you want to wiggle out of them.
No.
On either side of the ledger. In the now, this is good for ASU basketball. There is a swell of momentum, two straight NCAA tournament appearances, and even if you're a naysayer and you want to put an asterisk by those because they had to play on Tuesday or Wednesday in both of those tournament appearances, so be it. They're still the only Pac-12 team that can make that claim that they've been participants in the last two tournaments. Look forward to June. Lugans Dort. We had the discussions on whether or not he was making a mistake going out into the draft.
What a dort.
He's going to get drafted. ESPN had him as the 27th pick. Maybe it was either ESPN or SI.com had him as the 27th pick in the first round. There's another there's a chance two ASU stunned players could hear their names called out of the 60. Zylan Cheatham could get drafted in the second round. That's good for ASU basketball.
Of course it is.
And when you look at this realistically, and based on everything we know about upward movement by coaches that are in demand in college basketball, I fully expect somebody to come knocking on the door one day where Bobby Hurley can't say, I'm good here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be too good of an opportunity to pass up. And when that time comes, ASU's got to be in a position that when that job opens, they're picking from the next best candidates, and I don't know if they would be there yet. If Bobby Hurley left this offseason, I don't know if they would be at the point where established coaches would be knocking down the door to get here.
That's a good point. It's not built to that point yet. Yeah. That's a very good point. And I do, over the course of the last 2 days, I'll tell you this: I heard from a handful of people who were convinced Bobby Hurley might be leaving for St. John's. The fact that he didn't doesn't mean he's staying. I think it ties into what Vinny said, that there's some frustrations with Bobby Hurley that kind of manifested themselves near the end of the season when he started talking about crowd figures, attendance figures, all of that. That kind of, you could tell he was a little bothered by the way the fan engagement changed over the course of the last 2-3 weeks of the season. Not happy about the lack of representation on the road. Something that great, great programs generally get. Okay, you know what that tells me? He's still happy here. St. John's isn't enough job to take him away. The frustrations he feels in Tempe do not outweigh the joy he gets from living in Tempe and being out west. Okay? So he's going to stay here and keep building. I think he's going to pop a really good team in the next couple of years. That's my belief. If the fan base doesn't come along to the point where it's noticeable and there's not this kind of shifting, fluctuating nature of the fan base, then the next big job that comes around will get him.
You know,
I agree with you on that.
Absolutely cutthroat. Let's suppose the Wildcats fire Sean Miller.
Ooh, don't go there. Don't go there.
Why do you think that way, Jarrett? Why would Sean Miller ever get fired?
Yeah.
I agree. They already got rid of the rogue assistant that was in business for himself.
So obviously, the problem has been taken care of.
Clearly, the witch hunt's over, right?
Saw that Richardson guy. From the New York Post, the article that was written by Zach Braziller, I believe his name is pronounced, said 47-year-old Hurley earned $2.6 million last year and had an onerous buyout, which I had read during the speculation that St. John's had a couple of really deep-pocketed donors that would have no problem taking care of a buyout if Bobby Hurley was indeed the guy. A source close to the Jersey City native says he likes living in Arizona. He would need to be blown away to leave the Pac-12 school for a rebuilding job at St. John's. He was said to be looking for $3 million per year, though he was genuinely interested in coming back home.
Mm-hmm.
$3 million is not that far off, and if this new contract extends, you would imagine Bobby Hurley's going to be in the $3 million annual range.
Yeah. Well, and I said before, you can make an argument that he should, because there's no other head basketball coach in the Pac-12 that's taken a Pac-12 team to two straight tournaments.
No.
So they're outpacing everybody in the Pac-12, which isn't saying a lot.
No.
But they are.
No.
But I agree with you that this is not Bobby Hurley putting a flag in the mountain saying, oh, no, I'm here forever. That's not what this is. It's just not what it is.
No, and that's not the way college basketball works.
Yep.
But I think you can also look at it, if you're an ASU fan, as a good sign to where they are 4 years into Bobby Hurley's tenure as the head coach, that there are teams. I mean, this is not the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The UCLA job opened up mid-season when Steve Alford got let go. And what was the first name that was thrown out there? Bobby Hurley.
Bobby Hurley.
UCLA is going to come after Bobby Hurley. I think it's a good thing that there's, you know, he's at the top of a lot of lists when a coaching position becomes available, that he's one of the first people one of the first people that's thought of.
Clearly. So, I mean, yeah, like, this is a good moment for ASU basketball. They did not lose their basketball coach, and I'm excited. Bobby Hurley, as an in-game coach, I worry about the guy. His intensity is out of control. But I think he's brought a recruiting element to the school that they've never had with the basketball.
And like
program.
You sort of alluded to, ASU is in a position they've almost never been in before, where they have a coach that other prominent schools want because he's gotten the ASU good enough, and he's choosing to stay at ASU.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
they've sort
right.
of never been in either position.
But I like what Vinny said. As well as he's done, they've not built it to the point where once Bobby Hurley leaves that they're established enough where they can pick from a good pool of candidates.
I think it would be good. I don't think it's as strong a pool of candidates as you would prefer.
Yeah,
today is the last chance to qualify for the Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience in Nashville. Text CLOCK to 620-620. Listen today at 12:45 and 4:45. For your chance to experience the NFL draft in person, once again, text CLOCK to 620-620 and listen for the Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience presented by Cherish. Cherish 100% all-natural cherry juice.
We're 4 for 4 as a show.
We are. We're the only show that can make that claim. We're going for 5 today, and it's no mystery. 12:45 is about the time we're going to throw out that name, so stay glued to your radios if you're already qualified. Coming up. Two nights in a row, Archie Bradley's given up a home run out of the Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen. Last night's was a little bit more painful. We'll get into that next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I pooped my pants.
They wind up in the 0-1 pitch. And a towering drive to left, and that's going to go. Margot, a home run on an 0-1 pitch. And the Padres get the lead back 7-6, his first of the year.
I think, you know, maybe pitch selection. Obviously, he threw, 10 or 11 straight fastballs. He had that thing going pretty good at the top of the zone, and it came as a total surprise to me. Not that Manuel Margot does not have good power, but I thought I'd seen Archie get moving in a really positive direction, and I thought it was going to be a good inning for him. But he got clipped. He made a mistake up out over the plate, and you know, you make a mistake, the good hitters are going to take advantage of it.
That was Greg Schulte on the Manuel Margot home run. 7-6 winner for the Padres in kind of a seesaw game last night at Chase Field. D-backs got down big. They rallied to tie it at 6, and then Bradley gives up the home run. And you hear Torrey Lovello, the manager, after that, Vic, talk about the pitch selection being an issue for Archie Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
11 straight fastballs. So the manager says pitch selection was an issue. We don't have the audio of it, but the quote from Archie Bradley after the game was not necessarily pitch selection, but location. Quote, I mean, really, I didn't feel like I needed to differ from that about the fastballs. I just tried to go down and away, and you look where the pitch ended up. It ended up up and in, and Margot hits balls up and in. I just threw a pitch where I wasn't supposed to. I mean, either way you slice it, whether it was location or reliance, too heavy of reliance on the fastball. Second straight game that Archie Bradley's given up a home run. He had started out pretty well this year, and I'll admit it. I was premature in asking the question yesterday. When do you start worrying that Archie Bradley is going to have a repeat of the second half of 2018, and then he went out and did that last night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He stinks right now.
Well,
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Well, hold on. He had four scoreless appearances to start the season.
He did?
Yeah, he did. And he's had two bad ones in a row.
Yeah.
So does he stink right now? I don't know. He wasn't good for pretty much the back half of last year, okay? He was really good against the Padres 3 and 4 hitters before this Margot guy catches up to a fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it is what it is. This is his first loss of the season, his second home run in succession, his second bad outing in a row. I thought Archie had started the season well. I really wonder, because Archie's repertoire, good word, by the way, Archie's repertoire, it's limited. He's got four-seam fastball, he's got a two-seam fastball, and what else does he have? He's got one off-speed pitch.
Curveball.
And he's got a curveball. And I wonder if he doesn't need to have another weapon, because it just seems like this is becoming a pattern now, that when Archie is dialed in, he's really good. When he's a little off, he's not. And here we go. I'm not going to get crazy on him because I think Archie's still a key component of this team. The expectations of this team were such that it was not supposed to be a playoff team, at least in my opinion. I know they wanted to be competitive, so I'm not going to get goofy over this just yet, but I guess it's a trend. I'm having a hard time conceptualizing exactly the importance of this right here and now. Archie Bradley, in his role, once again, it's a unique role where you're the guy who is going to come in at certain times in the game, maybe right at the meat of the lineup, maybe when we think you're going to be best deployed. It's not an easy role, because look at it this way. Archie's a very, very personable, affable guy, and I really love interviewing him, okay? He made it clear that, look, you know, I'll do whatever I want. He's been a great clubhouse guy in terms of accepting whatever Torrey Lovello wants.
Sure.
But he made it clear to us that he wants to get paid.
I pooped my pants.
Wants to get paid.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
There's
because
nothing
right now,
wrong with
for
that.
The third straight year, he is playing a position that is not a high dollar in demand position.
And he's doing it at a time in baseball where the whole financial setup in Major League Baseball has changed and guys are getting goofy with this. Nobody knows who's going to get rewarded anymore. And we might have brought this up yesterday, but it's this whole, if you're a young star, you've reconciled the fact that this club has 6 years of control. And now you're still getting paid good money, but you see guys who are less talented than you, and they're cashing in. You're like, okay, when's my time?
Man, the only reason I wanted to close is to get paid.
My time is in your side. So, if nothing else, Archie Bradley has a little bit of maybe anxiety, maybe apprehension about whether the role he's having, even though he's been willingly and obligingly participating in it, whether it's good for his career. So, I don't know if mentally he's in the greatest of places.
Here, the bigger picture thing I see is that this team, we all agreed that everything had to go right for them to like be competitive, you know, be at least a fringe playoff type team. And this is one of the things that's not going right early on.
Mm-hmm.
When they come back and maybe had a chance to win a game they shouldn't have won last night, and then they didn't.
Well, I mean, you could paint that one of two ways. Yes, the way that you just presented it, Jarrett, or why were they in a position where they needed to come back?
Yeah.
Well, that may be another thing to be concerned about early, and that's the performance of Zach Godley, which was really good for five innings, and Not so good in that sixth inning.
Gave
up a five spot.
That's a great observation. Because Archie Bradley is such a popular talking point, he comes in, he gives up a single run like that, he becomes, oh my goodness, this is the big red flag out of the game. Well, look, the Diamondbacks had to keep coming back and fighting back and fighting back. They were down 6-1 at one point in time. And Zach Godley, to me, this is emblematic of the low ceiling nature of this rotation. And if that is indeed the case, it doesn't matter how good Archie Bradley is going to be. You're going nowhere anyways.
The bottom line is, I know there was questions about the Diamondbacks pitching going into this year.
Yeah.
It hasn't been good.
No,
I mean, they have the fifth worst staff ERA in baseball. They've given up the second most home runs. They've given up 26 home runs so far in 13 games. Mm-hmm. I know it was 8 on opening day, but that's still 18 home runs after that.
Yeah.
Only the Baltimore Orioles have given up more home runs than the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I know. And you've seen this in rotations, and it starts with Zach Greinke. Zach's been very, very inconsistent. Zach Godley's been very inconsistent. Robbie Ray is trending in the right direction. Merrill Kelly, for his first couple of starts, was really good. You know? But to me, this is not a winning team kind of rotation.
No, it's got to get much better if they want to get back into the conversation. Torrey Lovello, by the way, did offer what he thinks might have affected Godley in that five-run inning.
Yeah, I thought he was throwing the ball okay. I know it backed up in a hurry, and it's easy to look at how they built the inning and how things happened to say when it leads to five runs that you gotta make some moves. But I think the three-run home run really made it look a lot worse than it was. But that's my opinion. Like I said, I think that there may have been a little distraction with that ground ball, the shortstop, where we didn't turn that into an out. And I think those are things that we just got to condition ourselves for and pick one another up and make pitches to get out of that inning.
In relation to Godley, it just seems like there's always one little thing, like a bobbled double play ball or a play that he didn't make where he threw to a base that kind of unravels his performance. It happens way too often, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I like Zach and his mentality a lot. But that's not an elite level rotation guy. And for those who are interested, by the way, Paul Goldschmidt currently hitting .180. On base percentage .305. Horrible. Now he's got 6 home runs. 4 of them came in the first weekend in Milwaukee. So he's in a little bit of power. His average is not good. It's still early. I'm just saying.
Let me tell you what his final stats this season are going to be, okay?
Yeah.
He's going to have 35 to 40 home runs. He's going to have 100 to 120 RBIs, and he's going to hit anywhere between 290 and 310.
Okay, I'll bet you on that. I'll bet you on the ladder.
Mark it down.
I'll bet you on the ladder.
Under 290.
I've got under 290. I'm not going to bet you on the home runs because...
Are you making that official, Vince?
Yeah.
There you go. So you got 290.
See the same thing every year. Even when he was wearing a Diamondbacks uniform. Okay. We saw the same thing
right
every year.
And I'm betting on him regressing.
Okay.
Boom.
Mark it down. All right, coming up, lots
lunch
of talk.
Coming to that or October. October 1, baby. What do you want, Jarrett? Get that burrito order.
Hold on. Let me just see what he was hitting on this.
Socrates burrito.
Let me see what he was hitting on this date last year.
Now, did he hit over 290 last year?
What's
did he wind up?
April 12th. He was batting .190 a year ago. He ended up last year he hit .290 exactly.
Ooh.
Lots of talk at the top of the draft about Kyler Murray, another guy who could have his name called first. He's making some headlines for some not so good reasons. We'll get into it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.